Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day here on Hump Day. It's in the middle of the week. Yeah, it is Wednesday. I know sometimes we lose track. Darren McFarland here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick over in East Nashville. Chase McCabe out on the west side.
West side!
In Bellevue. Marquise Munson holding things down at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike, which is our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Gents, what's going on?
Okay. Good day to all of you guys. All's well here on the east side. Hope everybody is having a good Wednesday so far. Guys, I got a lot of stuff going on. I'm excited to say that.
Okay. You
know, a lot of stuff.
I've talked to a lot of people. I want to hear what you guys have to say about this. Do you think you're actually staying almost as busy? At least we're fortunate to say that, right? I know there's a lot of people.
No question.
That their jobs have changed a lot. Mm-hmm. Some people have been furloughed. Some people are on pause. You know, all of that stuff. It hits. And some people, of course, on the front lines are still going hard every day. And we certainly want to salute them every day. But like, it's a different kind of busy for us. I feel fortunate that, you know, with all these Zoom calls and projects that we're doing, you know, me some with the Predators, some for our station. I had a great conversation last night with Coach Derek Mason. For Vanderbilt, I feel very fortunate to be busy during these times. It's a different kind of busy, but busy mm-hmm. nonetheless.
Yeah,
I've stayed busy. I feel like I'm more productive with how this setup has been than, I mean, I'm usually pretty productive, but I'm not having to worry about driving to and from work. I get up in the morning, I come in, I can do some stuff, you know, before the shows, do the rundown, do this show, and then take a little break as long as I want, and then I work just whenever. So, I mean, there are a lot of times if there's some projects that, you know, this Game 6 remastered, I've done some stuff for that at night just because, all right, this is the time. I can just sit down at my desk. So I feel like I've definitely stayed busy and been busier, to your point, Willie.
Isn't it amazing how much more, honestly, and I know we've all had this thought, right, for everybody who's been working at home. And it is pretty interesting. When I watch the news, I feel like the studies they've done to this point have all said what I'm about to say, and I'm not surprised by it. I actually think you can be more productive from home. Just think about all the time that is wasted in a car, right? All the time that is wasted traveling around. If you live in a city like Nashville or Atlanta, or, you know, any city that's got any type of population and has got really, really bad traffic. Think about how much is wasted every day just trying to navigate through a city that you live in. I feel like I've got much more time because I don't have wasted time. Do you guys, sure. do you know where I'm going with this? Do you feel the same way?
No, I completely agree with you. Every moment actually has some sort of purpose. And like I said, I get my work done. I'm a very productive person. I have my routine that I go through when I'm at the office, but I just feel like this setup, I've been more efficient. It's like, all right, I have my checklist and I can do it at my speed, and therefore it makes me more productive. And like you said, there's not that wasted time. So I hear you. I agree with you.
For people out there,
you know what? One thing I think about, guys, is when you are at home, it's like we've had discussions on working out. You know, can you work mm-hmm. out at home as effectively rather than, you know, making yourself get out of the house and go outside and work out or go to a gym and work out? Sometimes it's a mentality, right? You have to overcome that mentality. I think it's the same thing with work. right? Sometimes when you're home, you feel like, ah, I'm home. You know, I can relax, you know, with what's on TV. We've had to condition ourselves to do work at home. But like you said, we have more time because we're not in transition, you know, or things like that. But it is a mindset that you have to change, but we've been forced to change it.
I have some news I would like to report to the show.
Okay. You ran a 5K.
No, I did not. But the news is after the show, I am going to do a 5K for the front lines. I am.
All right.
Oh. After the show.
This is exciting. This is big news. We need a guitar riff.
I think I'm going to grab one of the German Shepherds and take them along for the ride. I think they would enjoy that.
Probably, are you sure they're going to take you along for the ride?
Or? Well, probably the big male, because he's got a lot of energy, and I mean lots. 3.1 really is really no big deal to him. I mean, he's like, bring it on. So I think I'm going to do that. I don't know. He can also be a handful on a walk or a run, so that's a pretty good distance. We normally don't take him. Usually we go about half of that, right, on a walk. So this is like double a normal walk, and you know, sometimes depending on what's around, he's not easy to wrangle. Whenever he sees something, I usually have to take him, because if he wants to pull Maddox or Lauren, he's going to win. They cannot pull him back, and sometimes it's very difficult for me.
I just have this visual in my head of Maddox trying to drag him along, and then you just the next breath you see Roman just pulling Maddox behind him.
It's crazy how strong he is, honestly. And there is a misconception out there that people think that usually when I say, you know, strongest bite or I guess that's the best way to put it, the strongest bite or jaw in a dog, in a breed, what would you say? Most people I would think would probably gravitate toward a pit bull, right?
Yeah.
It's actually the German Shepherd.
Is it?
Yeah. And hence why they're police dogs, and they're very smart. But when he wants to play tug of war with me, now you think about it. I'm 6'4", about 255. Decent shape, not great shape, not poor shape. When I try really hard to pull something out of his mouth, I mean, is everything I've got shaking him like a rag doll? If he does not want to let go, I cannot get it out of it. Like, I eventually quit. Like, that to me is pretty amazing. He's not 255 pounds, and he's not 6'4". I mean, he's about a 90-pound, 85 to 90-pound male German Shepherd. But if he doesn't want to give it up, I can't get it from him, no matter how hard. Two hands, sitting down, pulling like tug of war. If he doesn't want to give it up, I can't get it. Like, that amazes me. So that just tells you how strong he is. So, yeah, I think I'm going to do that right after the show. I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to knock that out. Cross that off the list. And then I'm going to donate afterwards.
There you go. There's your
Fantastic.
Guitar.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Has anybody else, so, while there's been some agreements, has anybody else actually played it out yet?
Yes. Your challenges? Joe Rex wrote last night. I don't know if you guys saw
it. So Rexy did it. I didn't see it.
He did. Yeah, he put the video up and everything.
Okay. I'll have to go check it out.
He thanked us for the challenge. Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
Others have said they've done it. So,
right, I've seen them.
There's no video, but they've said it. They've completed the 5K. So,
wait a minute, they've completed it, but there's no video. I know that they've accepted the challenge. Has Mitch Light done it?
He says he has done it. He said he has completed the 5K.
Well, I mean, he's giving the two of us grief yesterday. We'd like to see a video. We need proof at this point.
Okay, so you want, you know, a picture that appears that, you know, there's been some work done, some sweat, some,
well,
you know, some athletic
wear. You'll know
when
I do it.
He was very quick. He was very quick to
make
sure that we did. The Chase and I did things on the up and up yesterday on Twitter. And so it's only fair that we need proof that he did things on the up and up. That's all.
I think that's
okay.
That's
okay. We will pass this along to Mitch and see if he can provide. Danielle Breezy said she had run a 5K that day, the day that I challenged her. But
really?
She said because it was post it was pre-challenge. She would run another 5K.
Wow, okay.
Yesterday, so we'll see.
That's dedication.
If that has transpired.
Willie, I was pulling up your Twitter account to bring that original video up, and I had to stop. How is Stanley okay? He's not. He doesn't seem happy today. That the
window's
closed.
He's not happy. No, he tried to do a what would you call it? Sort of a hanging tightrope walk along the windowsill.
I see that. He's going to knock the window is closed.
Yeah, the paintings are in jeopardy for sure. So. We'll see what happens here. Maybe I'll open the window a little bit later so he can get his bird show in observation from his observation tower. But that would put some paintings. Again, we could have another incident of knocking over something that would disrupt the show. So
yeah,
he's not happy this morning.
I really do. I worry about that cat. I really do.
It's full of
energy.
I've
got huge concerns.
There will be protesting. If he doesn't get what he wants, there will be a protest. Something's getting knocked over until that window's open. He's going to continue to demand attention until that happens.
This is something that will get Chase's attention, and it's not Braves-related. There is an overturned semi-truck that has spilled 43,000 pounds of pasta on I-24 near the I-40 exchange. So just keep that in mind.
Gosh.
If you're maybe a little bit hungry, an early lunch... there is 43,000 pounds of dry pasta.
43,000?
Dry pasta. So you'd have to cook it. But there is 43,000 pounds of dry pasta on I-24 near the I-40 interchange. So
I will.
Can we salvage any of the pounds? Like, could we take a few pounds that maybe have not been contaminated by actually hitting the street, the asphalt?
Well, I've seen pictures.
And still go home and cook it?
I don't believe this is all 43,000 pounds, but there's a lot just laying there on the ground. It's sad. It's actually sad to see.
Whenever I hear a story like that, I don't know how much you guys watched The Simpsons back in the day, but there's an episode where Homer is driving along and he sees a sugar truck that has wrecked, and he pulls over and he tells the driver, who's the old man Hans Molman, he says, "Oh, I'll watch it for you," and Homer's just shoveling sugar in his car, and he has this giant pile of sugar at his house that he's going to sell called Uncle Homer Sugar, but it's got pieces of the truck all in it. That's just what I think of.
If you would like to help those people pick that up and maybe you're a little bit hungry, just head over there, and there's a lot of pasta laying on the ground.
You could actually maybe play a couple of games of pick up sticks. Remember the game Pick Up Sticks?
Yeah,
where
absolutely.
All the sticks you spill over there and you got to pull it out without anything else moving? That might take a little more time to actually clear the road, so people might not be very happy with that.
Isn't that crazy? Like, that's what we used to. That's how we found our enjoyment. You know, a yo-yo, pick-up sticks. I mean, it's very simplistic, but you had a lot of fun back then.
Who thought up the game Pick Up Sticks? Honestly, that's a brilliant thing. Whoever
and how did it catch
it's
on?
A good game. How did it catch on?
Dump these
people
sticks
made
out
money off of that
of this little container, and then play this game, trying to pull them out without moving the other sticks. That'll
right.
catch
and
on.
Remember
That'll
the key technique. The key technique on the pointed edge, pushing down on the point, lifting up the opposite side of the stick, almost mm-hmm. like a seesaw, mm-hmm. and then sliding it out. That I mean, there was key strategy in that.
There was. There definitely was. We will come back and talk a little football with Alan Bell. A lot of things to get into with him. Sportsline and CBS Sports. He does it all, 24/7 sports. We'll talk to Alan Bell. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. At high noon today, no Tim Hasselbeck this week. We'll talk to Jerry Stackhouse, Vanderbilt basketball coach. He played with Michael Jordan in Washington. We'll get into his Vanderbilt team. And a lot more with Jerry Stackhouse coming up at noon. But right now, we talk to our guy, Alan Bell. It's actually been too long since we've talked to Alan Bell, who's with the CBS Sports Line. He is now on the line with us. Alan, how you doing?
I'm doing good, boys. Y'all doing all right?
How's quarantine life 2+ months in been for you?
Yeah, it's all right. I'm ready for something more than my living room. I'll tell you that. I'm sure everybody else kind of feels the same way.
Yeah,
but no, it's fine, man. I'm healthy, good. You know, I can't complain at all.
Exactly. I know you watched The Last Dance because I saw you tweeting about it. So I think you were locked in. Is that fair to say? You enjoyed that on Sunday nights?
Very fair to say, yes.
Okay. Here is my question to you, Alan Bell. A heavy emphasis on the flu game, which we all remember, back then. So heavy emphasis on the flu game. But a lot of things have come out since then. A lot of questions, a lot of people raising their eyebrow. I ask
stuff
you
about
this.
Pizza.
It's a multiple choice question. Was the flu game really A, the flu, B, food poisoning, C, hungover, D, other? How would you answer that?
All right, so I would answer this. I would answer with D, other, because here's the thing. There's no way that they ordered a pizza on the road with Michael Jordan's name to the hotel. Like, that didn't happen. So now that they've gone with that, that means that the flu game is not real either, so we can knock both of those out. I don't know if it's C, if he's hungover, but it has to be either C or D. I mean, there's no way they used his name. Like, handlers of that guy do not do that.
No. I think the pizza delivery guy refuted that yesterday. He said he didn't know. He said they knew it was going to the team hotel. They knew where the Bulls – everybody knew where the Bulls were staying. But I'm pretty sure, because we played about 4 minutes of that interview in Salt Lake City yesterday, and he was the assistant manager at Pizza Hut at the time. He claims him, along with another employee, actually delivered the pizza. It was two, not five people. A thin crust, extra pepperoni pizza, that seems like a bit of a stretch for food poisoning. So you think C or D. What could other be?
With Michael Jordan, there's no telling, and I'm not saying anything nefarious. I mean, there's just no telling. I mean, this guy could have been out all night. He could have been doing whatever. We don't know, but that's the hard part is that, first off, I don't think that they just fired up a poison pie to send over to a random hotel where they don't even know if it's him or not, and then if you've already ruled out the flu game, like, they should have just gone with that answer, even if it's wrong. Like, because that gets people to just stop talking about it forever.
Yeah, that's kind of what I said yesterday. If it's the flu, so what? Okay, the story's dead. Okay, people get the flu. I mean, that happens. I don't know why this has to be so secretive. Now the narrative has changed, and so I don't know why it needs to be a conflicting story when, it happens. People get the flu and people get sick. So anyway, all right, moving on. So I think we labeled this as a show, good intentions, and I don't want to say poor execution because it doesn't look like it's going to happen, or at least there's going to be some revisions. They're obviously trying to be sensitive and kind of amp up more minority hirings in the league. It looked maybe like a good idea on paper. The minute I heard it, I think it was after our show on Friday. We were off the air, so we couldn't talk about it on the show, but I just shook my head and was like, yeah, that's probably not going to work. Not a great look. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, the draft pick portion really was the tough look, right? Because then it just looks like you're basically just bribing teams. I didn't like that aspect. I thought that there were some good, I guess you could say stipulations. I like, not teams not being able to block assistant coaches from interviewing, and I think that goes across the board, whether minority or not, because it's just really hard to line up you being the top of your game as a coordinator and a team that's a perfect fit for you having an open job. It just doesn't work, in your odds in the NFL all that much. I like that they're going after it. Here's the hard part for me. Do NFL teams even really follow the Rooney Rule as it is now, right? Like, there's so many times where a job comes open and a team pretty much already has their coach, ready to go. So then it becomes kind of a token interview. I don't like that part at all. And to finish it, let me say this. I think this is something larger than the NFL, okay? I think that there's, things that we need to do to get numbers up of more minority coaches, just to give better odds and better chances. And two, it's something to where you look, most minority coaches end up falling on the defensive side of the ball, where the NFL is pretty much an offensive league now. So it's kind of another thing that's going against him. But long story short, you know, the draft pick portion, I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, how would you answer this? A team from the NFC, a team from the AFC. So one from each conference that did not make the playoffs. But as we sit here in now approaching late May, you like what they've done to this point. You like what you see on paper. And so they are going to go from a non-playoff team to a playoff team. Who is that team in each conference for you?
Yep. So in the AFC, I'm going to say the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think them getting Ben Roethlisberger back, coupled with that defense and with that offense, I think they're going to be much better than people think. If that's too easy of an answer, I'll give you the Las Vegas Raiders. I think that what I liked seeing what they did last year, and I think they're an up-and-coming team. They're going to get better very quickly. If I had to go to the NFC, NFC's tough because there's a lot of good teams, you know, really at the top. I mean, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would be the easy selection. Mm-hmm. But again, I mean, you know, who else? The Dallas Cowboys didn't make the playoffs last year, correct? I mean, I think that they're going to be a phenomenal team this year. So, yeah, I think we've got an opportunity for a lot of teams who didn't make it last year to have a shot this one.
Well, tell me why, and you're right, Dallas was 8-8. They did not make it. Go a little bit further on the first team you said. Why do you like Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh was 8-8 last year. Tim Hasselbeck, who normally comes on every Wednesday at noon, has not been high on Ben Roethlisberger's return. I know he has shaved the very, very long beard and the hair. He doesn't look like a mountain man living in the woods anymore, so maybe you're encouraged by that. But it feels like he's kind of definitely on the back end, staring at retirement here sooner rather than later. Why do you like for a bounce back for the Steelers?
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you know, Hasselbeck is right. Like, he is obviously on the back end. This might be his last year. There's a very good possibility that it is. The reason why I like them is this. Like, I'm not saying that they're going to battle the Ravens, you know, for the AFC North. Like, they're not going to be that good. But they're a team that's balanced. And, you know, you couple that with the defense that we saw last year. I don't think that they're going to have too terrible of a regression back. A little worried about their offensive line. But they've got a quarterback who's been there before. They've got a running game. They've got wide receivers. I mean, they're just a balanced team. And you cut and match that with this, is that you've got a head coach who's experienced, who has been there. You've got an organization who has experienced and been there. Like, they don't get nervous, right? Like, I think that Pittsburgh, you know, again, they're going to be a wild card team if they make it. But I just believe in what they do. And with the AFC, I don't think the AFC is going to be as kind of top heavy as the NFC is. So I think that there is a shot that they'll be able to get in. But again, you know, it's tough. I mean, the AFC South is going to have three teams battling for a playoff spot. The AFC West, like I said, is going to be better. You know, kind of a lot of it depends really on the AFC East. You know, how many playoff teams are going to come out of there? Is it only going to be one? But yeah, I mean, that's why they're just a balanced organization that doesn't really, you know, even in their down years, they don't tend to fall that far. They kind of stay around that 500.
We're talking to Alan Bell. I always enjoy talking football with him. Alan, I want to ask you about something you put on your Twitter for Sportsline. It was talking about Mitchell Trubisky, because I think it's an interesting stat, and I think it's credited to Bill Barnwell for ESPN that put this out there. But I think people would find this interesting about the fifth-year option. The Bears didn't pick up Mitchell Trubisky's fifth-year option.
Correct.
And of the previous guys that did it, you know, the numbers are pretty interesting in terms of what this means for Trubisky and the odds that he's actually going to make it long-term with the Bears. Usually the writing's on the wall.
Yeah, it is, right? And first off, absolutely. Bill Barnwell did the work on that, so absolute credit to him. The stat is this. You know, eight previous former first-round NFL quarterbacks have had their fifth-year option declined. Not a single one of them made it to the fifth year with the team that drafted them. And to take it a step further, six of them didn't even take an NFL snap in their fifth year. And what that goes to show is this. You've got quarterbacks who obviously don't make it back to their team. Historically, you know, like you said, 100% of them. And then two, they go into a backup role. And Teddy Bridgewater is one of those guys. Now, his situation is different, you know, just because, you know, an injury. But, yeah, I mean, you know, going off of Mitch Trubisky, he's really up against it. And there might be a shot that he doesn't even start week one, you know, depending on how much of, you know, OTAs and training camp that we get. You know, he's going to have to turn his game around very, very quickly, because he has as short of a leash in the NFL as there is.
And it's interesting, too, that you would think there might be a bounce back or two. You know, somebody gets a different address and bounces back and has some semblance of a career. But reading the list here, Alan, is pretty interesting. One of them that's on the list is Jake Locker, and we know what happened with him. He flat out retired. I wonder, you know, would he have been able to rebound or become a backup somewhere if he had kept playing? But a lot of these guys just faded away and never even had any kind of role, even in a backup sense.
Yeah, and that's the hard part, is that I'm with you. Like, sometimes just a change of scenery, a change of address can do you good. But at the quarterback position, one, you know, those jobs are taken. And two, it's really hard to come into another team, learn a system, replace whoever is the starter there, and have success. You know, it's just really difficult. And I think that's another thing that to keep it on, you know, to use a Titans kind of example. Like, what Ryan Tannehill did last year, and he's not in this category, but what Ryan Tannehill did last year coming that soon, learning and having that much success, is incredible. And that's why I think Ryan Tannehill should absolutely have another great year. It's just very, very difficult to do.
For people that are curious about the list, Jake Locker is one in terms of guys who did not have the fifth-year option picked up. Jake Locker, E.J. Manuel, Christian Ponder, Brandon Whedon, Johnny Manziel, and Paxton Lynch. And the two guys that did take snaps in their fifth year, Teddy Bridgewater, a backup to Drew Brees in his fifth year, and Blaine Gabbert, drafted by Jacksonville, saw eight games of action in his fifth year with the 49ers, which was more of a desperation situation there. And, of course, the two guys that did play, Allen, I think it's noteworthy, were definitely with other teams. So their original team had written them off. And so it's kind of interesting. This is a little different case because Marcus Mariota, they did pick up the fifth year, although he did lose his job in the fifth year, and now here he goes. So Trubisky and Mariota in particular, they're not quite in the same category, but in a general sense, you know, this is going to be a really interesting year for both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's an excellent point and a good analogy. And, you know, again, you know, Mitch Trubisky, I think the Bears are going to be better this year. I think everyone understands that there are short leashes, Matt Nagy included. And two, Mitch Trubisky can play. Like, it's not all on him. So he could have that type of year, and the Bears could re-sign him. It doesn't mean, you know, when you decline a fifth-year option that the guy's just done. I mean, you know, you could get him a new contract. Trubisky's got a shot to do this. The defense, you know, is going to help him out. I think they'll be much better again this year. You're right. Like, it's tough to do. And Willie, you would know this better than anyone in terms of being, you know, an athlete that played at a very high level. You know, your mental game has to be right. And if Mitch can keep, you know, that in check and just work one day at a time, as cliche as that sounds, and just continue to get better and own that offense, he can absolutely come back to Chicago.
We're talking to Alan Bell, 24/7 Sportsline, as well here with us on Darren, Donick, and Chase. And an exercise that Ryan Porth and I did this morning in the 9 o'clock hour is we did a position-by-position breakdown of the Titans and gave our thoughts on whether we thought they've gotten better from the end of last year through what they've done with free agency in the draft this year. And the offensive line continues to be a subject of conversation because they lose Jack Conklin. And we saw the bounce back that Jack Conklin had. Right now it's Dennis Kelly. It'll eventually be Isaiah Wilson. But how would you answer that question when you look at the offensive line as a whole for the Titans?
Yeah, you know, I think that the fair and correct answer is a question mark. And I don't mean to, you know, kind of scapegoat out of that answer, but we don't know. Obviously, you know, losing a guy like Jack Conklin isn't going to help, but you've got a remedy, you know, in Dennis Kelly. The big question, like you just said, is Isaiah Wilson. How fast is he ready to go? If he's ready to go week one, like if he is – you know, legitimately the best player at that position and is already ready to replace Dennis Kelly, then there's a chance that the offensive line could be better. But it all depends on how fast he's able to take that position as a starter, as, you know, not somebody who's just taking a couple snaps, but somebody who's really in there. He's the key cog for that.
Yeah, and I think, too, that it's maybe overlooked sometimes that you have to replace Dennis Kelly, the Swiss Army knife, and they don't necessarily have that. Quisenberry filled that role some last year when Kelly was starting for Taylor Lewan, but I think we've seen over the last 3 years or so how important Dennis Kelly as that go-to Swiss Army knife really has been.
Yeah, you see, you're exactly right there, and that's why I liked the pick, you know, as soon as the Titans had made it in the first round, because having Dennis Kelly as that Swiss Army knife, as your depth, as your most important, you know, number six, so to say, is incredibly important, not only for the Titans, but it would be for any NFL team. So I think the Titans are hoping and praying that Isaiah Wilson is ready to go, you know, basically week one, week two, because that gives them not only kind of a sigh of relief that you basically have a Geico insurance plan built in, but you can really, you know, just focus on, you know, Tannehill, Henry, you know, the wide receivers, tight end, whatever. And if you don't have to worry about an offensive line that's going to maul a defense, man, that it just takes so much off of your brain. You know, if you're Mike Vrabel, if you're, you know, the offensive coordinator, everybody involved. I think the Titans are open for that quick.
And then another position group that I can't say that they're really the same or better. I mean, I said slightly worse would be cornerback. Now, there's a lot of upside. There's a lot of hope that Christian Fulton turns out to be what everybody hopes he can be, that Jonathan Joseph has something left in the tank when you're looking at depth, and the fact that he might fit better with some of the changes that Mike Vrabel could make on the defense because of their familiarity with each other. But how would you assess the cornerback position right now for the Titans?
Yeah, I think the fair answer right now, today, is worse, because Logan Ryan was incredible. And Logan Ryan, not only for what he did, I mean, he was a top three cornerback in the NFL last year, but also what he brought to the team from a leadership perspective, from a comfortability perspective for linebackers, for the defensive line, for safeties. I mean, he brought a lot of that. So there's no way that we would say that the Titans are better at that position right now. However, as the season goes along, you know, we might see that Christian Fulton really is the truth and really is, you know, just a stud of what everyone kind of thinks that he's going to be, what he showed at LSU. So the answer might be better by the end of the season. But right now we would have to say worse, only because Logan Ryan was just that good of a player.
Alan, it's however. That's how it goes. The team that Clowney ends up signing with will be?
The Tennessee Titans. And here's
so you
why.
Think it's going to be here?
Yep, I do. And here's why. Because I think you've got a couple realistic options. I think the Titans and the Browns are your best bets. I don't buy into the Colts all that much. I mean, maybe if they throw big money at them, if they have an injury in training camp. But it's pretty much going to come down to Tennessee and Cleveland. And I think Tennessee, John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, they know this, that windows are short. You've worked to give yourself an opportunity to truly have a shot at a Super Bowl, and you have to take advantage of it. And for them to have shipped out Jarrell Casey for essentially nothing, I know that, you know, a lot of that was financial-wise, but still, I think that the Titans just they have to get him. And this could be that final piece that kind of locks everything in. So, yeah, I'm not going to play the homer card. I really do think Tennessee makes the most sense for them.
Does the signing of Clowney make them the favorite to win the division? Or how does that change the AFC South in your mind?
Well, I'll say this.
And by the way,
simulated the season 10,000 times.
Okay.
Tennessee's already the favorite to win the division for
really?
Us right now.
Okay.
And it's quite frankly not all that close.
Who was second?
Indianapolis did get better, but I don't see them, you know, really truly – you know, winning 10, 11 games, I don't think they're going to be a team like that. So if you add Clowney to an already solid team in the Tennessee Titans, it's going to shoot their chances, you know, well above the 50% mark. And remember this, you know, with Indianapolis and a short truncated offseason, they've got a brand new quarterback coming in. I know that he knows the offense, you know, from working, you know, previous coach-wise, but still, you've got to get timing down. The Colts are going to – it's going to take a couple weeks to get that in sync and get rhythm. So, yeah, I'm going to say the Titans are already the favorite. If they sign Clowney, it'll be even more.
Okay, what if the Colts sign Clowney? Does that make them the favorite to win the division?
It would get close to evening it. You know, I don't think that, you know, one defensive player is going to make a huge jump as, you know, say, you know, a quarterback or, you know, even like a big time, like a DeAndre Hopkins, you know, a guy like that. But it'll help them. I mean, you know, that's a team that has a solid defense, that has a run game. It'll certainly help, but I still wouldn't put Indianapolis over Tennessee. I still wouldn't do it.
Interesting. All right, what's the show? Let's wrap it up with this. The show that you've been – what's the show you're currently watching? Are you watching a show on Netflix or what have you?
Well, I'll tell you this. I got into Dark Side of the Ring on I think it's Vice TV, and I'm not even a huge wrestling guy per se, but the way that they told these stories, and last night they had on the Owen Hart death, it was – phenomenally done, and it ended last night, so I've got to find something new. But I really got into that Dark Side of the Ring a lot. It was incredible. A lot of stuff that I didn't know.
Dark Side of the Ring. Okay. Good to know. That's a good tip. Hey, thanks for doing this, as always. Good to catch up with you. Continue to be safe. We'll talk to you soon.
Man, appreciate you guys so much for having me. Thank you.
All right, that is Alan Bell there with CBS Sportsline. Always good to talk to him. I have not heard of that. Speaking of wrestling, Chase, have you and Marquise seen the unfortunate news?
We have in
California,
and that's something that we both have been following the last couple days. But very, very sad. Shad Gaspard, was a former WWE superstar, died saving his son. Told rescuers to get his son out. They got caught in a riptide. In California, and told the rescuers get his son out first and come back for him, and unfortunately he got pulled under, and they found his body earlier. So very sad, 39 years old.
Jeez, horrible, horrible, horrible. All right, we will come back. Kenny Albert, by the way, will kick off the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase here on this Wednesday. So that's coming up at 11 o'clock. Jerry Stackhouse at noon. Chris Mason at 1 o'clock. We'll come back and put a bow on the first hour next. We know a lot of you are working from home during COVID-19, this pandemic that we've all been under for 2-plus months. You can stream us from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app, enable your Alexa skill or Google Home, and ask it to play 102.5 The Game. Or you can live stream from our website, which is thegamenashville.com. And we do appreciate a lot of you doing that because we know you are doing that. We have data to tell us that, and we certainly appreciate it. You know, our conversation in the first segment I said I was going to accept the challenge after the show. John Roberts, who has joined us on the show here recently, who can be heard on SiriusXM, the NASCAR channel there, was listening. He is a proud owner of a German Shepherd. If you remember, we had that conversation the last time he joined us. He tweeted me and said, "Hey, D-Mac, on behalf of German Shepherds everywhere, I say you take that big boy on the 5K. That's it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to absolutely do it." Nate on Twitter says, he said he thinks he still has pickup sticks at his parents' house. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Mike on Twitter says that he used to play jarts or lawn darts. And if you laugh, Chase, I bet you don't even remember that, do you?
I don't. No.
Yeah. I know Willie does. I guarantee you Willie does. Willie, you remember jarts?
Oh, yes. Very dangerous game.
Very dangerous. If you think about it today. Yes. Like, we were kids. You had these big circles, basically cornhole, right? It was just big plastic circles. You're trying to throw these big metal spikes into the circle. And, like, most of the time when we were doing it, we were kids and irresponsible, and we're throwing metal spikes, you know, in the yard. So, yeah, a very dangerous game that was a lot of fun that would never fly today.
Yeah, injuries could happen, no question. And don't confuse jarts with jorts.
No, different thing. No, they're not the same.
You could play jarts wearing jorts, but that probably wouldn't be a good style.
Bad luck. Oprah Winfrey has donated $2 million to Nashville during the pandemic, so good for her. That certainly can be put to good use. All right, let's talk about some of the things that we discussed with Alan Bell, especially on the Titans front. So I heard we've certainly had this discussion many, many times on this show. I have said many times that it doesn't mean that it's going to play out that way, but just today, looking at this team, it's hard to make the case on paper that they're actually better. Once again, doesn't mean that they can't be better. I'm just saying on paper, when you lose Conklin and you replace him with Dennis Kelly slash a rookie, that's a downgrade. When you lose Logan Ryan and you replace him with a rookie, that's a downgrade, at least today on May 20th on paper. When you lose Jarrell Casey and you've replaced him with?
Blank.
Yeah, I don't even know who the example is. That's a downgrade.
TBD.
So, right. So it doesn't mean that guys can't step up and, you know, get better. Obviously, they're expecting more out of Jeffrey Simmons. They want him to be even more disruptive. I think that Rashawn Evans is just going to get better. What does Jonnu Smith look like? Can he be a 50? I'm going to set the number at 50. Can he be a 50 catch a year tight end for the Titans? Not 60, 50. Hmm. Is 50 realistic? Would you take over or under 50 for Jonnu Smith this season?
He had 35. I'll say over. Because last year he really wasn't.
I think he
could featured.
Easily be over.
Yeah, because he really wasn't
easily
featured
be
much.
Over. Easily.
Yeah, I actually agree with Willie on that. Because think about it, last year he really wasn't featured much until Tannehill took over. Now it was all kind of the perfect storm because Delanie Walker, his last game was the Denver game where Tannehill takes over, but you could see the chemistry right away between Jonnu Smith and Ryan Tannehill. They've been working together in the offseason too. So I actually think it's easy to say over 50 if he stays healthy. He had 35 last year.
Yeah,
Okay, well, he played all year as the number. Delanie Walker was non-existent, so he was basically in the same role he's going to be in this year.
But if you look at the stats before Tannehill took over, they were very pedestrian. He wasn't targeted a lot. It was all after, and I'm pulling it up here, it was all after Ryan Tannehill took over that Jonnu Smith really became the featured part or a featured part of the offense because he just wasn't targeted a lot. Like, he got one target in the Cleveland game. The most that he had before Tannehill took over was he had three targets in the first Jacksonville game, week three. But then those numbers really went up. 3, 7, 5, 6.
Yes.
4, 5. So and of course that was Delanie Walker wasn't in the game, wasn't playing, and he wasn't really a factor either, but those targets really went up when Tannehill took over. So that's one reason why I lean that way.
Marquise put up a poll.
Those are very, very good points.
Put up 49.5. Let's see what the listeners say. Let's see what Twitter says. Let's put up a poll. 49.5 receptions, Jonnu Smith this season, over under.
Okay, we can do that.
Okay.
Well, I think Chase has made the great points here on Jonnu. Chase made the great points for me, exactly what I was looking at. His targets went up a lot once Delanie Walker became unavailable to the team. So his role is going to start next year very, very different. And his role was pretty definite by the end of the season last year. Now, injuries can change this, but I would also hesitate. I mean, I know this is the fun part, is the over-under, but I would look less at the exact amount of catches. It's you know, where he fits in the role. How many more targets does Corey Davis get? How many more targets does AJ get? These are all parts of the puzzle, because I go into it thinking that Derrick Henry is going to get the most touches, right? He's going to get a lot. This is not going to be an offense that flings it all around the field. If it does, then that's probably not going to mean good things. I would also challenge you, Darren, on the offensive line. I think I could make the case that the offensive line goes into the season with way less question marks than they do this year. It's confined to one spot this year, and I think Dennis Kelly is a fairly known quantity. I mean, last year you had Taylor Lewan missing the first four games altogether. You had Saffold, who took a while to get acclimated to his new digs. You know, he struggled a lot in the preseason. He got off to a slow start. And then you had the whole right guard situation, which was a complete mess for half a season before Nate Davis solidified that spot. So I think the offensive line is a big upgrade going into next season.
He solidified it with a veteran guy to the right of him. Now, how's he going to do when it's Isaiah Wilson, which will be sooner probably before it's later. So then he's going to have a rookie next to him, and he's
ready
a guy
to play, and he
who's logged what half of a season in his NFL career.
The
right side is the part that is he's to better, me is a little tricky.
And
if he's better,
I agree with that.
Than Dennis Kelly, that's a good thing. If he's playing in front of Dennis Kelly, that means he is the real deal. If he's not, then you play Dennis Kelly. There's nothing wrong with playing Dennis Kelly.
Either option is right now, today, is a downgrade from Jack Conklin's season last year. I mean, either way, right now, today, it's a downgrade. So, yeah, no, once again, you make some valid points. Taylor Lewan was lost for the first four games of the season. Let's hope that's not the case again this year. Let's hope that it's a 16-game season. That only pushes your offensive line production up. Roger Saffold, as you said, he did not play well without Taylor Lewan. It did not go well. Remember, it was so bad, Roger Saffold was out publicly making comments about, hey, basically leave me alone, you know. You know, he was making comments about it. It was getting to him. And then things settled down whenever Lewan came back. So he's got a year under his belt. Lewan, if he's there all season, then sure, the left side should be perfectly fine. How do we feel about the center position?
That's one that I'm thinking
I feel
about.
Fine about it. I think it's all right there. I think there's a lot of situations where the team as a whole, the roster has grown, the chemistry, how they mesh together, starts off next year better than the start of last year. I think there's been steady growth there. That's why I think even with these moves, and I agree with Alan Bell, like if you're not going to sign Clowney, it probably wasn't very smart to let Jarrell or to trade Jarrell Casey. So that piece of the puzzle is key, I think, in the outlook there. That's why I still think Clowney, I'm waiting to see where the other shoe drops there. But I like how they've come across as a group. You can't really quantify that, Darren. So if you look person by person, I see the argument you're making, but I think we're overlooking guys like Nate Davis and Saffold and Evans and players who I think are just going to be a year older, a year better in their roles. And I think Jonnu Smith is part of that.
Well, that's what it has to take for it to be they're better, right? Like I said, going into this, saying full disclosure, it can be better. There's no doubt. But it's also the unknown. We don't know. Like, I don't know what a full season of Nate Davis is going to look like. I suspect that, you know, his experience last season, what he got, will only help him. And he's older now. And so I think moving forward, he should be better. But we don't know yet. There's just a lot of unknowns. Doesn't mean that it can't happen. And, of course, they're banking on all that happening. I'm just simply saying on paper, it's hard in a lot of cases to make, what really, when you think about it, what position got better in your opinion? What position got better than last season?
I maintain the same thing. Like, Jonnu Smith is a different player than Delanie Walker. He's not a guy that you're going to throw the ball to seven or eight times per week. He's a guy that is effective in his role. Like, for example, last year in the Jacksonville game, the second Jacksonville game, he wasn't targeted at all during the game. But the team scored 42 points, and Derrick Henry ran for I don't know how many yards. He was running all over the place. They didn't need him to do well in that game. So it's not necessarily how many catches he has. He's a guy that's going to make that one or two big plays. You hope he develops into more of what he was in the second half. He can catch four or five passes a week. And if that's the case, he'll get the 50. But But I think his role is a little bit different, but he's good in his role. I think that's really what the Titans are about. It's not a lot of individual stats. It's more how the team collectively gets it done.
I think it's a very interesting question. That's one reason why Ryan and I had the conversation this morning, because can you definitively say that there is a position group that is vastly better than they were last year? Now, I hear what Willie's saying about tight ends and, you know, with Jonnu Smith, and I believe that Jonnu Smith can be better than what we saw, obviously, out of Delanie Walker the last 2 years, just because Delanie Walker was hurt. So, I mean, that's not an indictment of Delanie Walker, the person or the player that he can be. It's just he was hurt and was clearly not the same. But it's hard for me, and I, you know, receiver, are you going to say that that's better? I mean, you're asking A.J. Brown to do what he did last year. You're hoping that Corey Davis has more than 601 yards or whatever it was and two touchdowns, that he doesn't necessarily live up to being the fifth overall pick, but he gives you more than he has, and I can't say that. So I know with me going through it, it was either they were the same or they were slightly worse, but I can't really say that there's a lot that you can just go, it's better.
We'll come back and start the second hour with Kenny Albert. We look forward to that conversation. That is next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.